creators of the podcast dungeon, you have come across another goddamn horror podcast with Graham Fay, Jonas Barnes, and Ryan Danley.
Welcome, everybody. That was like a half sing. Half sing. So I'm doing like this half sing now. What do you think? What do you guys?
That was a it was a solid half sing.
Can you half sing, or is there just like singing, not singing?
What do you think? No, it's just singing shouting. And you just give up in the middle of it.
Just
melodic shouting. Yeah, melodic.
It kind of sounded like if the guy from the B-52s was straight, like that was
kind of. That's dead on.
How unfortunate would it have been if he would have been, or he is? Is he alive? I think he's alive, right?
Yeah. I don't know.
All I know
is shocking is what it would have been. You'd be like, really?
I love pussy. yum, yum, yum. Yeah. Eating the clam.
Yeah.
The
voice and the lyrics, I don't know.
All I know is that the Love Shack probably had a lot of the clap. Hey, what's up, everybody? I am Ryan Danley, coming to you from Portland, motherfucking Oregon. I welcome, as always, from the other side of the arugula salad pipeline, Graham from
Brooklyn, motherfucking Flatbush.
Yep.
That was almost Flatbush. That was almost tough. That was almost like Brooklyn.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, yeah.
it was cool. Yesterday, actually, I'm going to say this. I went to Coney Island for the first time this year.
On a Tuesday. I was going to say for the first time ever?
Of the day.
Oh,
Jesus. No. On a Tuesday, I love that. Like, there's not a lot of there's barely anything in the back, you know. All the games and stuff aren't really open. But there's a couple that are open. And like this dude ran up on us, was like, one dart. I was like, ah, shit. He was like, free dart, first one. Don't throw it at me.
I was like, Jesus Christ.
No, that's all right. I'm just going to get some food. But I love this energy.
There
were a few others like that. It was great.
You're like, oh, I can't throw it at you. Well, that fucking ruins my entire ride down
here. I don't want to do this now.
Well, I went on the Cyclone, which is my fucking favorite thing to do, and I ate Korean hot pot for the first time.
Oh, nice.
They just give you a bowl of boiling Szechuan soup, and you just throw whatever food into it, and it like flash fries. It's pretty great.
I would rather eat shit. Let me finish. As they say in rehab, let me play the tape through. Okay. I would rather eat shit or watch every Rob Zombie movie than ever ride another amusement park fucking ride in my life. Like, pretty much, like, I got on one a few years ago, and I was like, this is the worst fucking thing. Like, why is this fun? Like, I'm spinning myself in circles. Like, I did everything in my power, like, not to do that while I was, like, drinking. Like, why am I doing this fun? Like, why? Like, this is fucking terrible. This is, like, seriously, like, yeah, this is fun. This is how I felt at 3 a.m. for, like 25% of my life. So I think I'm good. So yeah.
Well, let me tell you real quick. The Cyclone is the oldest fucking, it just turned 96 and it's made of wood. There's no flips. It just goes fast and turns fast. And it's scary as fuck because you actually think the whole thing's going to lift off the tracks at any moment.
Well, you know what? So you know what else is
fear is awesome.
You know what else is old and scary? The Ku Klux Klan. So, like, I don't need any of that shit. All right. So, fuck it.
If you're,
they will also go off the rails.
The KKK.
Yeah, they're way off the
rails. One dart. Throw it at you.
God damn. Cyclone rules. Anybody that's written it knows the Cyclone.
I'm good.
Also, I got a sweet picture.
Listen, I'm just happy. Just honestly, I'm really happy that you went on a Tuesday before all the heroin needles washed up on the beach. Like, so you got there at prime time. The thing that's so funny,
I love Coney.
Dude, Coney Island is so funny because everybody that has never been to New York has this, like, such a glamorous view of Coney Island. Then when you go there, when it's actually, like, fully in Coney Island mode, you're like, this is Skid Row with sand. Like, this is not.
Well, it's just a nightmare. And there's too many people. I go there like in the winter and just walk around, and it's the creepiest part of New York that I've found.
In the winter, it's dope. But during the summer, also, the other thing that's hilarious about Coney Island is not only is it super fucked up with drugs all over the beach, which is actually kind of the fun part, but there's also people riding around selling bootleg cocktails out of coolers that like, I don't even remember the fucking name of them. They have a name, but like, it's illegal as shit. There, you don't even know what's in them, but you drink one of them and you're like, oh my God, I woke up in a different borough. It's the weirdest shit, but people are super into it. They're just like, yes, it's the summer. I can get roofied on the beach. This is fun.
Well, I don't recommend going to Coney Island if you're an idiot.
No,
so, no. I can manage my way around Coney Island without, you know, with having a blast.
So I like Coney Island for two reasons. One, because when you're in New York, it's the easiest way to know you're going south on the subway.
That's true.
Like anytime you're like, okay, Coney Island, like if you're struggling with the subway, and you need to head to Brooklyn, and you're like in Manhattan, or if you need to head further down into Brooklyn, you just head towards Coney Island, and it's perfect because you just know you're going to go south. So that's great. The other is the scene in Angel Heart, which I think gives kind of an accurate description.
It does, actually.
Where that woman is just like walking out into the ocean on Coney Island. And I think that's perfect. And Angel Heart, I think, is like this underrated like masterpiece of movies. And sometimes
Angel Heart fucking rules.
Fucking rules. Yeah. And I would love to have the director on it, but he is fucking dead. So that's
we can always shoot.
So who do we get Rourke instead?
We can always shoot for Mickey Rourke. He's just close to dead.
So
Rourke technically alive.
Very much.
Probably should be dead. But anyways, who do we got instead today?
Yeah, Josh. Man. Dude, I'm fucking psyched about having our guest on today. Like, so I met our guest quite a long time ago in comedy. Did his podcast a while back when it was still going on, the Mean Boys. With him and his homie Connor McSpadden, one of my favorite people, stand-up comic, LA based. You've probably seen his dick on Comedy Central, actually, doing the naked roast. Welcome to the show, Keith Carey. What's up, man?
Hey, man, it's good to be here, dude. Every time somebody plugs that naked roast battle, I get a bunch of angry DMs that are like, "It's fucking censored. This bullshit." they're like, "Where is the uncut?" Like, I have it in a vault somewhere. Like, Viacom won't let me see my own dick. Like, they watched it once and they sealed it up in that warehouse from fucking Raiders of the Lost Ark. Like, they're like, nobody. Nobody can have this.
You're like, I have to send you a DM if you're that interested. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, like how hard? It's like, not that hard. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
no, it was soft the whole time.
Actually, I got a text when they were editing that from somebody who was like, yeah, I'm in the room right now and we're going through the footage and it's crazy. And I'm like, so you're all hanging out looking at me naked and nobody invited me?
We're just going to text you about it? Like, yeah
just letting you know. Really weird.
Fucking weird.
It is funny, dude. Funny side note to that, I have actually mentioned Keith's dick on two separate podcasts. Like, that has actually been something that has come up
earlier in the chat.
Yeah, we did. It was because Ryan said something about being on and ready to mingle. I was like, you need to be careful. Keith's rocking a hammer and he's sexually liberal. So, like,
I'm fiscally conservative, sexually liberal. That's my
absolutely. But yeah, dude, I'm really happy to have you on the show because, like I said, we met each other a long time ago. We were hanging out in LA, and when I was doing the Mean Boys with you, that was fun as hell. And then when I reached out to you, I was like super happy that you were into horror, but specifically like the stuff that we were talking about just on the DMs was cool. So again, man, thanks for coming on to the show.
Yeah, man, I'm happy to be here, and I feel like I always, whenever I talk about horror with people, I have to preemptively be like, I know a little bit about like 90 different things about horror. I am not the most well-versed encyclopedic person. Horror is one of those things where whenever somebody's like, do you like it? I'm like, I like it. And they're just like, well, have you seen the most obscure Korean movie ever made?
Right.
I like Michael Myers. Like,
right. Yeah, we kind of like, you know, we're ready for those conversations and we do have a lot of those guests on. But like, honestly, like, you know, like elitism kind of ruins all art. You know what I mean? 100%. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like there's nothing worse than like music shop guy. You know what I mean? Oh, like, yeah. Like, oh, you're not jamming on a, you're not using these, like, you know, and it's like this dude's in like some band that like plays on Saturday nights at like, so you know what I mean? Some like blues band or some crap, you know what I mean? And it's just like, no. So like, yeah. So like, just bring whatever you like and we can meet it. And I mean, and then we'll just all completely make fun of you afterwards. Like that's just, you know what I mean? Yeah. We'll be like, can you believe that that guy, like Michael Myers, what is he, what is he from the fucking suburbs? Oh my God.
You know what's funny, dude? Every art form has some well actually piece of shit. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like just some dude that's like, well, actually, it was this and this and this. And like with horror specifically, like that's such an asshole move because horror is such a genre. Like you can like the trashiest, cheapest bullshit in the world in horror, and it's legendary. And then right. Sometimes, like on the opposite spectrum, you have like this such high art shit that like also other people love, and there's so much stuff in the middle that like that you can enjoy in the horror genre. So yeah, like by no means do we expect people to have an encyclopedic knowledge. I don't even have that shit. I have like 500 horror Blu-rays and I still don't have that kind of knowledge of horror movies.
Right.
No. We
actually had an episode once where we did horror trivia, and we're like, you know, I watch horror movies pretty much every day, or like do something horror related every day, and we got our ass kicked. You know what I mean? So yeah. it's just like, you know what I mean? And it's like, I also watch like, you know, go online and like, get a part of all these horror groups online. And everybody hates everything all the time. Oh, this movie sucks. This movie's trash and all this shit.
They don't have a lot of reasons behind it either.
But it's just always trash, or this plot sucked or whatever. I'm like, motherfuckers, I grew up like watching, like, I was lucky to get like Friday the 13th, 9. Or like fucking Nightmare on Elm Street 6. You know what I mean? Like just random ass shit. Like if you hated if you hate like It Follows, I'd love to show you. I wonder how you would have felt with like the one horror movie we got a year.
Yeah, and, take like, down to the bottom of the barrel and see how that.
Yeah,
exactly. So y'all just can slow your fucking rolls out here, right? Let's just fucking enjoy what we got.
I saw Jason X in the theaters.
Yeah. All right? Exactly. Like that,
yeah. You know what I mean? Like that
Jason
was
X kind of kicks ass though.
Well, it does kick ass.
it's had a renaissance of us. You know what I mean? Like I think a lot of people fucking love it now. You know what I mean? Like I think it's like people have like gone back and seen it for kind of the fucking gem that it is. You know, at the time it was like, What is this? It still has one of the best kills of all time. When he smashes that fucking face against the fucking counter and just tosses it aside, like it just doesn't fucking matter. That's a chef's kiss to that shit.
Well, it's a beautiful time too. And like, so like now, whenever you're like talking about like making movies or anything, everything has to be high concept and very like thought out, or it's all IP. But I love the glory days of like the 90s, early 2000s, where it's just execs doing cocaine and going, I don't know, what if again, but in space? Like, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. What if Leprechaun is in the hood? Like, word association, you should make $5 million. Like, it's a beautiful time to be alive.
So the rat, like when he wakes up from the coke psychosis, he's like, we gotta go back to the hood.
So the rappers are doing really good right now, so where should we stick the rap?
Exactly. We pitched it to Ice-T, but he said fuck no on the second one. He was just like, absolutely not. I did the first one because I needed money.
Yeah.
So clearly you didn't start doing stand-up in L.A. Whereabouts did you where did you come from? Unless you were like some psychopath, because that's only a psychopath.
Well,
yep. No,
I mean, I started
hit the nail on the head.
Yeah, I started down in Orange County, but cool. I pretty much been doing it in L.A. like my whole.
Very cool. Very cool.
I'm a psychopath, so that
makes sense. That makes sense. How do you break into stand up in LA? Because it seems like even hard to get into it, like if you're accomplished and you move there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I'll let you know when I figure it out. Like, the honest answer. It's weird because I thought I knew the answer, and then COVID happened, and now I don't know anybody who runs shows anymore. But no, I mean, a big part of it was I was doing roast battle at the Comedy Store a lot, and that kind of like ingratiated me into like getting booked on stuff. But it's just, you know, I imagine it's the same as doing it in New York or anywhere else. You kind of find your lane with like the people you like hanging out with, and you sort of weasel your way into a spot in the scene.
Yeah. I just did a run through California, and we try to find something in LA, and like I couldn't find like everybody I talked to in LA was like, yeah, there's like some bringer shit and there's some like da 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 da, but there really isn't anybody like doing shows in there. It's like, wow, that's wild, you know what I mean? So it's like
there's a lot of shows there, but they're booked out for like 6 fucking months. Like it's right. One, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, if you want to go to a room that's not like, and this is the same thing with New York, if you want to go to a room that's not like a bringer or something like that, like the fucking wait time on that is a while, because the rooms did thin out during the pandemic. And I know that happened to LA too. I mean, like one of our mutual friends, like Bronson Jones, you know, they had fucking right. Venice Underground, which is a murderer's row of a show every single time. And even that has shifted to a different thing now, you know?
Right.
And a lot of that happened because of fucking COVID. Like that shit. Yeah.
Just fun pivot. I saw a guy get shot at Venice Underground.
I'm not surprised. Whoa. Actually. Yeah.
I was going to, I've been at 3 different comedy clubs where somebody got shot. But I was waiting to do my set and I was like taping for a thing. And I was like, all right, I'm feeling good. The crowd's really good. And I go up, I like to up out front to smoke a cigarette and I'm smoking and I'm like looking across the street and I'm like, that guy looks mad. And then I just see pop, pop, and then I ran back inside and I'm like, I think I just saw a guy die. And Bronson goes, tight, you're up next. had kind of a weird set.
Yeah, that's
you weird. Know, I imagine so.
Yeah.
one of my friends that also runs the show, like this is something that's interesting because when I looked at the LA comedy stuff, like going forward, because I'm going to be taking trips back to LA for a variety of different reasons. But like the show that even I had in LA that was like the one that I book here. I was booking it in LA too, and then the pandemic happened and the fucking the Sycamore died. So it was just like,
oh yeah,
fuck. It was like, all right, that went away. But like you know Skylar Stone?
He's one
of the fucking few people that's still booking a show, and he's booking a fucking great show every time it happens. The Jam in the Van show.
Right.
He's another horror dude. He had his face ripped off in Hostel 3.
Oh nice.
Shit. I never saw the third one.
A lot of people didn't either. Yeah, a lot of people didn't because it's Hostel 3. So
right. You're like, I guess.
I know a horror movie is bad when I know someone in the cast. Like that. Is
you're like, how many hostels do we need? Do you know what I mean? Like, right. You're like, okay, so they're caught someplace, and it's like, listen, I'll watch Final Destinations till the end of time. Right. I could watch a 40, 50, 60-hour John Wick movie of him just doing the same shit. Hostel, I'm just like, yeah, I get it. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, yeah, it's like, okay, you're going to torture those people to death. It's going to be a bummer. I don't know. Like,
Hostel 3 was actually based in Vegas, which is, that was the big shift. So it wasn't European anymore. It was based in Las Vegas. And Skylar played a absolute nightmare of a drunk at a bachelor party that was one of the friends. And I will say this, to Skylar's credit, he easily had the best part as far as acting goes in that whole thing, because when they strapped him up to the table and got ready to do the torture shit, he made it very believable. And like I had a side conversation with him about that, because I was like, I don't know what the fuck you tapped into to do that part, but holy shit, dude. Like, because the performance that he did before he got his face ripped off was like, yeah, I was kind of sold that fucking person really had an arrow in your face. Like, you know, like,
right.
And he goes, yeah, I tapped into a bad place to do that. I was like, yeah, okay.
That's gotta be so weird being like, cause I'm assuming I haven't seen it, but I'm assuming he's got like a bunch of funny shit going on in that, and to get like hired for being funny and be like, oh, by the way, can you just like sell the entire concept of human mortality too while you're here?
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. You go from that. Yeah, it's a Hostel 3. It's a I'm gonna have to watch it. Like, I'm kind of into
I've
I'm,
heard that it's actually good.
It's not bad
from a few people
for a third Hostel movie that's direct to video. Yeah, it's not bad. It's
two
not bad.
Great.
I think if you do a Hostel, yeah, if you do a Hostel in Las Vegas, all you would have to do to torture somebody to death would be to just put somebody in Las Vegas with no money. Because if you have ever been to Las Vegas and you have no money, that town instantly goes from like tolerable to the worst place you've ever been in your entire life, because there's like literally nothing to do. There's no place to like sit, or like it is the worst place to not have any money.
So. Yeah, it feels like once you run out of money, the temperature goes up like 10 degrees. I go out there for I wrote on the show Battle Bots for the Discovery Channel, and we fucking we shot for like 3 weeks out in Vegas, and it's like, that is too long to be in Las Vegas. Yeah. After like day four or five, when the whimsy wears off and you're done gambling, it's the most miserable goddamn place in the world.
I can only imagine. You're like, now what do I do? And it's like, yeah, it's like people will still say to you like, oh, well, you can, they give you free drinks at the casinos, don't they? And it's like, no, they don't. they used to give you like drinks while you were gambling, and I don't even really think they do that anymore.
Some but like still do
they? But it's not like you just like walk through into a casino and they're like, oh hey, here's like some fucking free booze for you, you know what I mean? Like
no,
it's like no, it's a fucking scam, you know what I
you
mean
either
like
have you either have to be winning a lot of money or losing a lot of money to get those free drinks, because what they do is they're like, oh, they're getting angry, better lube that person up. Or they're like, oh, they fucking won too much money, better make them waste more of it. Like it's one of the two.
The only
like,
way to get free drinks is have a lot of money to start with.
Yeah, right. 100%.
You don't have to spend it on it, but
yeah. No.
No, but you sit at the slot machine, you order the drink. By the time it shows up, you've lost $200. You're a big fucking winner.
Yeah.
Can we go back real quick? You wrote on BattleBots?
Yeah, I was just going to ask about that. Yeah.
I fucking love that show.
Oh, no shit.
The most obscure credit that I've ever heard anybody drop.
I lit up. Me and my wife watch it all the time.
5% of people, when I tell them that, are like, oh my God, they have to go, I met the Pope. And the other 95% of people are like, what the fuck are you talking about?
BattleBots. Well, BattleBots kind of went on to some other things, because the dude from BattleBots went on to MythBusters. And like, you know what I mean? Right. Like, can't remember his name off the top of my head, but I loved BattleBots, because like BattleBots was actually like
it ruled.
Like it was fucking,
it's still going on.
I'm sure there's kind of like, how was writing for it? So like, so you write for what? So you write for like the announcers, right? Like for the over, like,
yeah.
So,
like I write for like, you know, the when they intro the show at the top or whatever, like the two guys, Chris and Kenny, host the show, and then they have this dude Farouk.
Do you write the Farouk things?
I write the Farouks, yeah.
Holy shit, this is my wife and I have been talking about this for so long. We were like, does he come up with them or does he have a writer? And I think I was convinced that he came up with them.
I swear to fucking God, Keith,
that's,
I did
fucking
not tell,
amazing.
I didn't know Graham was going to fanboy out like this on BattleBots. I didn't know.
I almost didn't even mention it. I was just like,
so glad
I went to Vegas and it was bad. But no, that dude is the coolest guy in the world. Like, I've written for a shitload of people. He is the most satisfying person to give a joke to.
Yeah.
Sells everything at 400%. He is a magical man.
Oh, that's so great. I love that. Congratulations.
Yeah. Fucking BattleBots. Dude, that show honestly did rule. I just, as soon as you said that you wrote for it, my brain was like, that show had fucking writing? And then like, as I was thinking about it, I was like, oh fuck yeah, it did. Because at first,
when
I
you
forgot,
said
that,
I really like, want to know if you were the voice behind Farouk.
Yeah.
As soon as you said that, guys.
Yeah, that's fucking wild.
Well, we are a horror podcast, but I could almost fucking talk about your fucking, what other rad shit have you, before we get about horror, whatever rad shit have you written for? I mean,
I want to throw one out there, Keith, that I want you to talk about for a second, because I think it fucking ruled. And it was when you and Connor had April O'Neil roast her own porn. Like, it was fucking great.
Yeah, that was a trip. The guys from Wood Rocket wanted to do like the roast of April O'Neil. So they had me and Connor McSpadden and our buddy Tom Goss go out there. Me and Connor basically sat with her and Missy Martinez and just wrote roast jokes and just shit on clips from all our movies. I felt really bad while we were doing it, though, because there was one point where like they were showing the Hellraiser porn parody, which I highly recommend just for the sheer debauchery of it. But like, I'm trying to roast everything in the thing, but I'm also trying not to be like too mean to April. I'm not going to be like, oh, you dumb slut. You know what I mean? Like, she's a nice lady. So I was like, oh, I'm going to make fun of the guy in this movie's dick. and I went in on this guy's dick pretty hard, and we kind of made fun of it for like 5 minutes. And then we noticed the guy filming us doing the roast looked really bummed out. And then we realized, oh, it's him without the pinhead makeup on.
Oh, my God.
We had just been dunking on, and it was a fine dick. There was nothing wrong with it. We were grasping big, girthy straws, but.
Right.
Oh, man. I just like, it was always funny to me because, like, first off, like, I don't hide the fact that I am a fan of porn, but like, April O'Neil specifically was somebody that I always thought was dope, not only for the connection to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and that weird, like, fucking child fantasy that you had, but also, like, the fact that she's cool as shit. Like, that she is very funny, she's very nice, blah, 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 she has a cool sense of humor. Right. So when I saw that you guys were doing the roast thing, I was like, oh, that's actually got to be pretty fucking cool, because she seems like, if there's ever going to be a porn star that could, like, do that type of a thing, it would be her. Because all the parodies and shit that she does are wild. Like, just... Ten inch mutant ninja turtles, for fuck's sake. Come on.
That's exactly what I was about to bring up. That's one fuck horror. That's the most haunting thing I've ever seen in my life.
By far.
Because the turtle dicks are so specific in it that I'm like, they either did a way too much research on what a turtle dick actually looks like, or they thought this up on their own. And both are equally troubling.
They've done quite a few porn parodies for horror movies, but the Hellraiser one, which is funny that you brought that up, because the Hellraiser one is probably one of the funniest ones that I've ever seen, just because Hellraiser is kind of pornish in and of itself, right? And it's like in its own way. Then when you translate it to a porn parody, it's just like, oh, okay, like, you guys are really fucked up. Like, you know.
Hellraiser is such a weird movie, because I showed it to my girlfriend recently, and we realized, like, oh, it's the least sexy movie about sex ever made. Like, because everyone is just wet and gray and British in that 80s director way, where I'm like, none of you have ever fucked or smiled before. Like, it's
nobody wants to think of Doug Bradley just going to town. Like, right. Nobody wants to think about that ever.
Well, and they've always put him in shit like that, because, like, you know, he's in Twin Peaks, and he's in that movie, and he's in The People Under the Stairs in bondage gear. You know what I mean? So for whatever reason, he has ended up in that cycle, and it's like just some weird juxtaposition where they're like, we're gonna take this big, goofy, weird ass looking motherfucker, and we're just gonna make him like creep sex guy. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, it's fucking crazy.
He also, like,
I went to Juilliard or something, and now he's like, oh, I'm horny creep number 7.
Right. He also, like, dude, he fucking played a priest in a wrestling promotion called Blackcraft Wrestling, and he was like the face of the promotion as like a priest. And then also he fucking showed up in one of the shitty Wrong Turn sequels, and he wasn't in bondage gear, he was just a troglodyte's father. So it was just like, he fucking, like, I felt bad, because it's like, once you're pigeonholed as Pinhead, like, what the fuck else can you do? Like, it, and he seems like he's a very good actor. And I also love that the Hellraiser series got to a certain point where Doug Bradley was just like, absolutely fucking not. Like, I'm not doing this one. Like, there's
not
enough money.
Space. I'm not Jason.
No.
All right. So I know other things that you've written, because I actually did research on you. For the record, I did actually know that you were from the LA area. So when I was saying that you were a psychopath, that was actually a setup joke. But do you think it's funny?
We're still recording.
God. Did you think it's funny that David Spade named his show Lights Out, considering that sometimes when David Spade's lights are out, terrible shit happens to David Spade?
Oh, God.
For the audience who doesn't know, David Spade once was sleeping in his bed, and his assistant, for whatever reason, straight up tried to kill him. Like, he's open about this. And this isn't like me talking shit about David Spade. And
yeah, this is a well-publicized story.
I've seen him talk about it. If you need to go watch him talk to Anthony Jeselnik about it. It's a good story. And it's no disrespect to David Spade, because I'm certain he's a fine person to work for
with
or whatever. And, but it is. But the second I saw Lights Out, it was the name of the show, I was like, that's odd. Like, because, like, holy shit, I would never, like, because he said, like, he just knew somebody was looking at him, like some telltale Hart shit and like fucking like looked up and the dude was in the fucking doorway. I would never sleep with the lights out again in my entire fucking life.
That's, well, the original title was going to be oh shit, he's got a gun with David Spade. you know, Network was kind of weird about it. Look, I am hesitant to talk too much about this. Yeah. It's not my thing to talk about. Right. But I will say, this is the only thing I feel comfortable saying is that. So I heard that story, but I had never looked that dude up, like the assistant. His name's David Malloy. And if you Google him, he doesn't look dissimilar to me.
Oh, no.
And when I realized that, I felt kind of weird sitting there in the writer's room. Like, I hope he's not periodically just gazing out of the corner of his eye and having a PTSD flashback.
Going like, oh, fuck. Maybe he just keeps you around. As like, or maybe he names it Lights Out. Maybe he keeps you around just because, like, you know, it's like he's got to fucking just deal with it. You know what
just
I mean?
Like, giving crazy eyes. Maybe my joke should get on the air, Mr. Spade.
Exactly.
He just did a lot of research to make sure that you didn't change your name before you made it into the writer's room. He's just like, how long has this guy been
Joe Dirt 3? We're doing it.
I feel like David Spade, because I know he listens to the show. Yeah, I feel like sure. I feel like David Spade is a comedian and would understand our jokes.
Oh, yeah.
He absolutely would.
Absolutely. But I've always been a David Spade fan.
I wanted to bring this up because we were talking about Hellraiser, man. You are you're a fan of remakes. Did you see the Hellraiser remake?
So I haven't watched the Hellraiser remake. I'm not even necessarily a fan of all remakes. The one that I mentioned when we were talking that I am a big defender of is the Dawn of the Dead one.
Yeah, Dawn of the Dead.
Oh, go ahead.
It's a good remake to defend.
Yeah. No, I think that's a kick-ass movie, and I think that there is a weird sort of like feeling of like we should never remake anything, and I think that's the perfect example of why you should remake a movie is because you're going to do a completely different thing with just the bare minimum of the elements of it. Like anything where you're trying to like shop, like the Psycho shot for shot remake, or you're trying to just replicate the thing that already happened, I think is doomed to failure. But that Dawn of the Dead one is like such a clever, weird kind of update of the style of it, the feel of it, the tone of it, that I just, am a big, big fan of it.
Yeah, I am. I especially think with the Dawn of the Dead remake, like, so when it first came out, I will admit, that I, you know, like being such a fan of the original, I mean, like, the, you know, like, I hate to be so cliche, but the original to me was like, at the time specifically, was such kind of like a sacred fucking thing, you know, sacred, you know what I mean? And like, so when I first saw it, I didn't know how to take it. Now I fucking love it. And I think it's I rewatched the original, but I could go out on a limb and say that rewatchability of Bryan Singer's Dawn of the Dead might be actually a little bit better. If I'm just going to like throw on a movie to like vacuum the house and like clean up, I'll fucking throw on fucking Dawn of the Dead. It's like fucking perfect.
I hate to interrupt, but it's Zack Snyder. You did your
Zack Snyder. Sorry, Zack Snyder.
I do not want to watch Bryan Singer's Dawn. No,
thank you. Thank you.
For all right. It all takes place in my swimming pool. Interior, my mouth, golden hour.
That's a very bad Dawn of the Dead. That one is, that's a remake we don't need.
I don't know.
Dawn of the Head, actually.
I don't know.
Dawn of the Head.
I don't know why. I mean, like, mind you, I'm on like a ton of pills, but like, I don't know why I went Bryan Singer instead of why Bryan Singer didn't.
I don't know,
Zack,
man.
Zack Snyder, like, that's,
well, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
That was also Zack Snyder.
I'll just blame it on the bundle of scrambled eggs.
Both of your co-hosts thought about trying to help you out. And
it's good. I like it.
He actually just, Graham just threw some more rope from one screen to the other. It's for you.
I'm a fucking huge Jonas said you were a defender of remakes, and I really like that. I don't think they all work, I think any remake is on, anything is on the table, and if they can, even if they do basically the same story, if it's from a different director and different set of eyes, it's going to be different looking, and sometimes it's not as good, sometimes it's better. Like, and there's a lot more that are just as good, if not better, lately than there are complete misses.
Right.
Yeah, it's
like
hard.
I can name it a shitload from the past couple of years, like all the way from like Slumber Party Massacre, which was a super cool remake and stuff, and then up to like fucking what did you say?
We can no longer make fun of the Bryan Singer. No.
Graham and Ryan are actually sharing pills. Hellraiser, dude. Keith, if you haven't seen the new Hellraiser remake, you definitely should, because what they did with it is they took the core story of what Hellraiser was and the core like look of Hellraiser,
and they kept the sexiness but the grossness of it.
Yeah,
okay, yeah, that's what you want.
Like that sexual stuff, but it's like kind of weird.
You shouldn't actually.
I wanted to make my dick
Pinhead.
Throw up. Like that's
Yeah, you shouldn't actually want to fuck Pinhead, but you should kind of want to fuck Pinhead. Like there's just, you know, like you're like, do I maybe? Like I don't, you know. But no, the way they transitioned it was really good. They took it and they made it like they modernized it, but they kept all the stuff that you love about a Hellraiser movie. And there were some people that, you know, had their issues with it, but honestly, for a new take on a fucking franchise that had been dying for years.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like it's a really good take on it.
They got deeper into the box. Like
yeah.
I'm trying to like I really dug that. Or not.
Yeah. No. Not because Jamie Clayton is playing Pinhead. But I do want to go back to the Dawn of the Dead remake thing, because when I remember when I first saw that, I saw it in theaters and I saw it with a friend of mine, and both of us kind of went into it with jaded expectations because we were both kind of horror dicks like that, because we were like, oh yeah, the original was so cool, blah, blah, blah. But then as soon as the opening happened and you saw that fucking zombie little girl do a kip up like the Rock, we were just like, holy shit. Mm-hmm. Like, we were just like, okay. They are doing something completely different. And then as soon as you see what's-her-face, Sarah, I can't remember her last name.
Polly.
Yeah, yeah, Sarah Polly, driving down, and you're seeing these zombies just like straight up NFL tackle people onto their lawn and rip their throat out. We're like, oh, we're fucking in. Like, this is immediately awesome.
Well, there's that great shot in that scene where the guy is chasing the car and then just goes, ah, fuck it, and peels off and just eats some random guy.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Pieces out.
Yep.
And also, like, as far as a cast goes, like, the cast was great. The setting was, like, exactly the same as the original, but it was a new take on the setting. And then, because it's a fucking Dawn of the Dead movie, there has to be a scene in there that sticks with you and fucks with you forever. And that was the Zombaby, which was just like, holy shit. Like the amount of people in the theater that were just like, that's it. I'm done. I'm out. They made it 3/4 of the way through and they're like, the fucking Zombaby, I'm out of here. Like, get the fuck out of here. And they walked out. And then after that, me and my friend were just like, dude, we fucking love this movie. So it was just immediately on. That's how you do a remake well. Like, you take it and you do it well like that. I personally felt that way about the Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake. The one from 2003.
I saw it when it came out. I don't remember being super stoked on it, but I don't have a super clear memory on it.
And that's the Jessica Biel one. And a lot, honestly.
Yeah, no, fuck that one.
Yeah, yeah, I know you don't like that one.
100% hate that one.
Yeah, yeah. See, the reason that I actually ended up liking that one, and it took a while, actually. When I first watched it, I didn't like it. When I first watched it, I actually hated it for very similar reasons to why I thought I was going to hate the Dawn of the Dead remake. But the more I watched it and the more I got into it, the more I respected what they wanted to do. And that's why I ended up liking it more. Because what they did is they took something like Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which is an almost untouchable franchise. It just as far as, like, if you're going to remake a classic horror film, fucking with Texas Chainsaw Massacre is a hard one to do. Like, to actually sell to people. So they took that and they made it, they took the grime and they kept the grime, but they still put some shine on the grime just enough to make it, like, gross. But, Ryan, what were you going to say?
Okay, let me hop in here, and then Keith will give you a chance to hop in here.
Listen, I
Ryan's leaning back in his chair.
So I sat down and watched all of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre movies in a row a few years ago, which is a lot harder than I thought. Actually harder than watching all the Saw movies.
It is.
And I will tell you that as much as you may hate the remakes, I was fucking pretty glad to get to it. I'm just going to say, like Leatherface 3, like pretty much after 2, the drop off is pretty heavy. And you can love those movies for being shitty, but it still doesn't change the fact that they're pretty shitty movies. And 3 is really bad. 4 is at least fucking weird and shit like that. By the time we got to the Jessica Biel one, at least it was kind of fucking interesting. And what's his name? The fucking dude from Full Metal Jacket.
Arlie Ermey.
Yeah, the get on your feet guy. I actually like him in those movies. So there's bits and pieces I can actually pick from those movies that I kind of like and stuff like that. You know, the continuity of them, normally I don't give a fuck about that, but since they tried to do something with it, it is a weird, like, throw a bunch of shit at the wall and see what sticks with those movies afterwards. But I did feel like there are some things. I actually oddly like Texas Chainsaw, which would have been Texas Chainsaw 3D, which is this
love that one
stupidest fucking name for a show ever, because they actually turned Leatherface into like sort of a sympathetic creature in
the- he had a face turn fully.
Yeah, he had a face turn fully, and
do your thing, cuz.
Yeah, do your
fuck off.
I love that shit.
And I was okay with that, but like, so as much as I didn't like the remake, like when I first watched it, because it was glossy. It was like matte glossy. It was like matte glossy too, which is like the worst. Like Michael Bay loves that, because he tried to do that with all his fucking shitty remakes. Is that he took those like that fucking glossy look, but it was like matte finish, so it was like faux shitty. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? And so like.
Manufactured patina.
Right. Exactly. It was like I'm buying like Abercrombie and Finch pre-frayed rimmed fucking.
It's all that new metal green.
It's like fucking like fucking Boston Red Sox hats with like pre-frayed brims that you buy at the fucking fake Irish fucking bar. You know what I mean? Like it's a so it's those movies. But by time I got to those movies, they were so much more like, at least like, I don't know, like there was like the scenes were better and the kills were better and the fucking like it wasn't, they weren't boring. I actually kind of thought the 3 and 4 were just kind of fucking boring. It was a whole lot of fucking nothing. And like
3 is especially boring.
Yeah, 3 is especially boring. 4 is at least fucking wacky, and Matthew McConaughey is in it, and Zilliger, and you know, it's directed by
it's kind of fun.
And it's directed by Bryan Singer, and you know what I mean.
It's not as good as 2, but it attempted that vein at least. You know, a little bit of the over the top. It's only the Jessica Biel one that I don't like. I love all the other Leatherfaces after and before. That 3 Leatherface, like the actual third one, is fairly weak, but the Jessica Biel one was offensive to me. Texas Chainsaw is like my favorite, and the way they tried to redo shots and stuff, like especially the hook on the girl on the hook scene, it was so Hollywoodized and just taken of all the soul of the actual first thing, and I just hated it from the get-go, and I tried to rewatch it and it was worse than I remembered. But then I watched Leatherface and whatever, and Texas Chainsaw 3D. 3D I fucking love, because I was like, oh shit, they turned Leatherface face, and like that was fun as hell. And they were against cops, so I was like, yeah, anytime, make the cops the bad guy, turn the monster heel or face, let's do it. So I love that shit, and I really loved the last one, the Netflix one. Thought it was super fun.
I will tell you guys this, just because I know that I've said it before and I've changed. I actually rewatched the Netflix one and I do dig it now. It took me a little bit. And I had to actually sit there and watch it and think of what they were trying to do with the movie. I still have the one big hang up about the fact that it's so noticeably a movie set that it pisses me off. But aside from that, like, seriously, as soon as they show the ghost town, and I'm like, that's on a fucking back lot. That part pisses me off. But aside from that, like, the rest of it, I'm actually super into. So it took me a little bit, but I did turn on that one.
Is that the one that's the Leatherface origin story? Is that, like, I think I saw the trailer for that.
No, it's him like now, 70 or 80. Oh, and like, okay. And there, it's really good. It's on Netflix. It was a
he
Netflix
looks about
original.
45, though. He doesn't look 70, but he, you know, but monsters yeah, don't and, age well.
Yeah. But that one was, I thought, a lot of fun. It had some cool new up and coming actors and stuff. The remake that absolutely fully, like, I was sort of against remakes, and I went into the Evil Dead remake fully prepared to be like, fuck this. And I went into the theater. Yeah, I was not happy that it even existed. And I went to this theater, the Pavilion, which is a piece of shit. Although now it's the Nighthawk, but it was this old fucking theater in Park Slope where the lights had all gone out in that theater specifically. So you had to like use your phone to find the seat or whatever. There was no, it was pitch black. And there was also, it was raining and there was a leak. So like during the whole movie, you could hear a leak in the theater. And then this movie came on and I was like, I don't know if it was the atmosphere of the whole theater, but I was right in right away and I was blown away. And I was like, oh, they didn't need to try to do Evil Dead. Like they didn't need to try to remake it at all. They just did a different story with barely, you know, the beginning to set it off.
Right.
Which is kind of what they did with Evil Dead Rise, and I love that shit.
Yeah, what I love about the Evil Dead remake is like, so the Evil Dead movies are like probably my number one horror thing. Like that's
there are a lot of people.
What's interesting is like, Evil Dead 2 is my favorite one because I think that's the best blend of the comedy and the horror.
Exactly. Yeah,
for sure.
But Evil Dead 2 and Army of Darkness are so like much like they're so highly remembered that you sort of like. At this point, I think of like Evil Dead as a comedy franchise as much of a horror thing. And that remake really went back to the roots of the first one, which was like, what if we made the mean spiritedest fucking movie anyone has ever made?
Exactly.
Vapid of humor.
It's everyone. It is the most unpleasant movie to watch, and it rocks so hard.
Exactly.
So good.
I just love it. And they just made it so fucking gory, and they just made it such a fucking great horror movie. And they took like all of the blood from the first one and the second one, and they're just like, we're just gonna make this super fucked, and like they just went full on into it, and I couldn't love that movie anymore. When the second I watched it, like halfway through it, I'm like, oh, this is great, this is absolutely fantastic.
Somebody and ever actually- since then I've been pro any remake. Yeah. Just go for it. I don't care. I obviously don't know what I'm talking about going in, so
when I saw the Evil Dead remake in the theater, somebody puked in my lap, and I was sold on the movie at that point. I wasn't even pissed. Like I was like, it makes sense. It makes sense that it just barfed in my lap because of what we just saw. Yeah. And it was the scene where she licks the knife blade and her tongue splits. The person was just like, bleh, like just right into my fucking lap. It was a stranger too. Like I could have been very angry and I wasn't at all. I was like, I fucking get it. Like I get it, dude.
You should and have to pay extra to get puked on in the, it should be like the box where there's an upcharge.
Yeah.
That was William Castle's like last.
Exactly.
Like, he was going for that next.
For the makers of the Tingler comes the puke.
Also, this I want to mention this about the Evil Dead remake that I thought was really cool is they took the idea of the Evil Dead in the original one and they transitioned it over to a story about a woman detoxing from heroin and then being like, well, the best fucking way to get this girl to do this is to go up to a dilapidated cabin in the woods so that she can't run away. Yep. And then you have this fucking jackass that's just like, hey, look, here's this book made of flesh that's like fucking
that dude really fucked up.
He's like, yeah, you know, this girl's sweating out the fucking smack upstairs. I might as well read this skin book. Like,
right. Dude.
And then from like, as soon as like the actual Evil Dead starts, it's just like, holy shit, dude, there was no letting up. There was no fucking breathing room. But leading up to it, yeah, those were the parts that made me laugh, because there was just like the humor that was there was so dark and like buried that it was just like, this fucking asshole. Like, there's 8 pages that say put the book away, and you're right. Just like, fuck those pages.
Right. You're just like, I'm fuck this. I'm going to do it.
And I think without that one, we don't get Evil Dead Rise the way came out.
Yeah.
Which I'm actually not crazy about Rise.
Hmm.
Ooh, I love Rise.
I like the last 15 minutes of Evil Dead Rise a lot. The rest of it, this is my problem with Evil Dead Rise, is they go, you know what everybody loves about the Evil Dead movies? A bunch of like dialogue and character development. And I'm like, no, none of this. I don't want to watch you try. Like, and I love the idea of setting it in like an apartment building, like taking it out of the cabin is like obviously the next step you take it, but they literally keep it in one apartment. Like, it's, I would have liked to have seen a little more of the building and the setting used. It just, I don't know. I felt like I wanted more out of it.
I mean, I love that they were like, the name of that movie should have been Fuck Them Kids. And
that was directed by Bryan Singer.
Yeah, it actually was. That was his movie.
Exactly. But the shot of them through the peephole will be one of my favorite shots in like movie history. Like, them just doing the, and then the beginning scene, like the whole beginning, like the cold open, like with the Rise, that was fucking amazing. And if I don't know, I'm a big fan of Rise. So, but
I have to admit, I was immediately sold on the movie when I, in the trailer, as soon as she said mommy's with the maggots now, I was like, all right, I'm in. And then as I'm watching the movie, even if I had any hesitations into the movie, like as soon as the mom becomes the deadite at that point, like even if I did have any hesitations or any like questions or thoughts that I might not like the movie at that point, the fact that a kid literally just walks onto the screen to get fucking murked 5 seconds later, because they were like, not only are we going to kill all the kids that we've already showed you, we're going to introduce another one just to kill him immediately. Like, the fact that they were just like, absolutely fuck these kids. Like, it was not, they didn't even hide it. They were just like, here's a new one, and also fuck that kid too. I'm going to throw him against the wall, and he's just going to sit there. He's going to lay there in a pool of his own blood for the whole fucking peephole movie. Like, just the whole thing. So then I was just like, all right, cool. Yeah, fuck it. They went in on it. I'm okay with this now. Let's do it.
Yeah, I want to give it another shot, because I don't know what it was. Maybe I just saw it on the wrong day or something, because I seem to be like way in the minority of people who were not like blown away. I will say, when they do the deadite, I don't even know what you call it, but where they all just like fuse together at the end and make
shunt
behemoth. Yeah, that thing rips.
Exactly. Like, that thing's everything you want in a movie. Like, when that thing happened, I was like, I don't even know if I need to watch movies anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I'm good with this. This is pretty much the pinnacle of like fucking movies now. Like, it's I don't know if you're in the minority of people, but I would also maybe check the people that you're marching with on your anti-Rise stance. That's all I'm going to say on that. Go go online with the haters of Rise, and you might go, yeah, I don't know.
It's like that kid feels a Nazi? A little.
I'm confused as to what you're
implying. I will say that there.
Do
are
I have the incel take? Is that what I did?
I'm not saying that like it's an incel take. I'm not saying I'm not saying that your take is an incel take. I'm just saying not everybody who has your take is an incel, but every incel has your take. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I'm not taking this shit from Portland Zordon.
AGHV, not making friends.
No. I will say this, dude. There's a lot of people that did not like that movie that very quickly realized that one of the kids was non-binary, and they were not a fan of that. Like, there was at least one of the kids that was very much within the LGBTQIA plus spectrum. Okay. 100%. And a lot of the shitty dudes that were like, are you fucking kidding me? Fuck that. And they was just like, whoa, all right, Reddit, calm the fuck down.
Yeah.
Like, that happened. It did happen. But I also do know a lot of people that do have the take that didn't like Rise for a lot of the reasons that I think you brought up, because there are a lot of people that do have issues with the fact that it was probably the most character-driven character development.
And it was serious character-driven. It wasn't comedy-driven.
Yeah.
I think that's where people kind of got it.
Like, and I also found a lot of the character stuff just kind of a little, it landed a little flat for me. Like, yeah. I saw what they were doing, but I never like really cared emotionally. So it was hard for me to get wrapped up on that end. And it's, I'm rooting for everybody to get killed, but the movie kind of doesn't want me to, you know, it, like that's sure. kind of the,
that's fair.
I don't know. I found the girl kicking heroin in the remake about 100 times more, like, I don't know, relatable or sympathetic than anybody in Rise.
And I fully,
maybe
and
tells
I fully
you a lot about how I grew up. But.
I fully agree. The character development was ham handed and that is probably the weakest part of that movie. I think it made up for it in lots of fucking other parts of it, but I can fully understand. And I'm just giving you, you know, you're clearly yeah. not really an incel. Well, I
before
know, I love Evil Dead Rise. I love women. Okay. I love Elizabeth Warren. I fucking recycle. I don't know what else you need out of me.
Yeah, yeah.
Dave Chappelle, boo!
I will vouch that Dave Keith Chappelle. Keith is in fact not an incel. No, but I do.
Yeah, I'd be fucking dog. About that life.
He's swinging it.
He yelled on the podcast. To a bunch of
I do want to mention this. I want to put something to rest about Evil Dead Rise before we get off of this movie, because there's something that people have brought up when I've talked to people about this movie that actually kind of pisses me off, because they're trying to make it seem like something is just shoehorned in the movie when they're not paying the fuck attention. There's not a wood chipper in this movie. That's not a wood chipper. That's a concrete crusher. It's actually a jaw. It's actually literally a jaw excavator. If you look at it and see what the actual contraption is, it makes perfect fucking sense for one of those to be in a building that's about to be demolished. It also makes perfect fucking sense for a chainsaw to be there in a building that is about to be demolished, because they use them to take down fucking beams when they demolish buildings. Like, so, that's actually something that makes sense.
You're going to be like me fucking yelling about how 28 Days Later isn't actually a zombie movie till the day you die. It's going to be like the last thing you say. Like, people are going to be like, Ryan, what do you have to say? I'm going to be like, it's technically an outbreak movie.
And then he just dies.
Zombies can't starve to death. And then I'm gonna die.
And also, it's Frankenstein's monster as your children just leave.
Finally, will you shut the fuck up?
I wonder what I'll say on my deathbed. That is gonna be God. Fun. I want to say about remakes real quick is, like, a lot of people that are super against them. Like, you ask them their favorite John Carpenter, and they're gonna say The Thing, and The Fly is a billion times better than the original Fly. I don't care who said. Like, okay, Grandma, like, no, that these movies, just because they're moving faster, that doesn't mean that.
I mean, I think it warrants the conversation of, like, well, what makes a better remake? Because that's a tough question, because it can't just be that it's a better movie.
That's
because
true.
Because, I mean, they tried to make better movies out of RoboCop and Point Break, but
they got to give the right director.
But obviously they got to get the right director. But you can't make we didn't love Point Break because it needed to be better. Do you know what I mean? We loved Point Break because it was fucking cool. Like, it's a stupid fucking movie. Like, it's like if you remade Speed, you can't remake Speed. We don't fucking need to see Speed again. But, like, Speed was fucking fun. Like, if you like walked in a room and Speed was on the television, how long would you watch it? Probably a little bit, right? Like, you watch some Speed. Like, fucking
the first one, yeah.
Is Speed a good movie? No. Like, is it kind of a cool concept? Sure. Yeah. Like, is Keanu fucking? Do we all want to be the speed bus and have a little Keanu in us? You know what I mean? For sure. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, you know what I mean? Like, it's a fucking, like, you know what I mean? Like, so you can't remake movies. So you don't need to make them better. You just need to remake them. Like, and I hate to say this, right, because, like, the RoboCop remake was just a fucking complete fail, because the first RoboCop is, like, my favorite movie of all time and just fucking amazing. And Point Break is fucking bullshit, but you can take a real quirky fucking lightning in a bottle movie like the Evil Dead movies, and then you can get a great. So what about that made it better? You know what I mean? Because it's almost the same thing,
But horror remakes. All right, horror remakes, I think, are just easier. I think it's also a reason why horror can blend with any other genre better than any genre can blend with any other genre.
Yeah, but
I think the people that are remaking horror love those movies for certain reasons. The people that are remaking Point Break want to be Keanu and want to make a lot of money because it was a big movie when they, like, you know, or they love surfing. I don't know. But like those big budget movies are fucking too, like, of the time, I guess. And horror is adaptable more. So I think that's why I'm so, I guess now I'm thinking about it, I don't like remakes that aren't horror.
Well, Keith, if you were given like something to remake, like let's say you were given Speed to remake, like what would be your take on it? Like, what would you think, like, as a writer, okay, what would be your take on like a Speed remake? What do you think would, you know?
Okay, the bomb is strapped to Keanu and the bus has to get it off him.
Okay.
My immediate flip. It's a very short movie.
Easy flip.
I don't know. I mean, I guess if you're trying to do the, again, I'm being put on the spot here.
Right. But
I don't, like, this might not be the right answer, but this is, I'm going to kind of echo the point of why I think remakes are worth doing. Like, okay, if you're doing it now, maybe you put the bomb on some Uber and the guy driving had no idea there was a bomb until he's already out there. And it's like, okay, right. If the first one is sort of like playing with this idea of public transit, now it's like, okay, this is like how that has evolved. That's what this looks like in modern society.
Yeah. Right.
Much like the Dawn of the Dead remake, part of what makes that worth making and interesting, aside from like it's just cool to watch zombies fuck shit up in different ways, is the idea of, okay, culturally, what is a zombie movie set in a mall? What metaphors is that pulling forth? What is that saying about consumerism? Are so different in 1978 or whatever than they are in 2004, even than they would be if you made that movie now. So I think, like, really the key to making a remake worth making is having some sort of take on it beyond the core sort of like visual recognizable element, which is why something like the chainsaw thing, it sounds like you guys are talking about, or like the Nightmare on Elm Street remake, which I fucking hate.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so it's why those don't work, because it doesn't feel like there's any motivator other than, I don't know, people like Freddy Krueger, so let's make a new Freddy Krueger that we own all the licensing rights to. Like, there doesn't really feel like a driving reason to make it besides that. Like, even the Evil Dead remake has all the blood and cruelty and nastiness that you want. It also is like, oh, we have this idea about addiction, and it all ties together with what you already know about Evil Dead really clean and really well, and you don't have to force it. Like, it's
exactly
kind of a rambling answer, but
it's actually a perfect answer, because it's like, because like really what it, you know, what is the core of this, what like makes it work, and that's exactly it. Is it's like, yeah, like nobody, like, we've seen all the Nightmare on Elm Street movies, we know it, you just replayed it, or like, eh, you know what I mean, and it's like, yeah, it's like it has no soul. You know what I mean? And
also, like Nightmare on Elm Street, when they sat down, this is like when they sat down and did that remake, I feel like all they did was like, you know what? The first one didn't have CGI, and they just fucking computerized the shit out of that movie. Even to the fact that they did it to Freddy Krueger's face. Like, why would you ever do that? Because visually it's immediately off-putting. Like, everything about it has too much. It looks literally like a fucking computer generated movie half the time. And you can't do that. And like, obviously, Robert Englund is Freddy Krueger for sure. But Jackie Earle Haley did fine until you saw his face. Then it was just like, now I don't fucking believe you're Freddy Krueger at all. You look like a turtle. Like, what the fuck is going on? You know?
It does look like they use the same like CGI model they use for the Michael Bay Ninja Turtles for Freddy Krueger.
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty much identical.
I'd like that a modern Dawn of the Dead would be just us ordering shit from Amazon on our computer as zombies. You know what I mean? Right, like that. Yeah, so yeah. That's our consumerism cause. It's like, and then retail workers would just be like filling out like unemployment forms.
The truck pulls up at your house and they just throw a fucking zombie on your doorstep.
Yeah.
It's like a Made in China zombie, so its jaw falls off. It's kind
of
shitty.
Right, it's like Wish.
I didn't order this.
Is this a Wish.com fucking zombie?
Eating or, its own arm.
Or yeah, Timu. Yeah. Timu. Timu is like the...
Timu's
like
the new one. Yeah.
Timu is like the IKEA of Wish.com. It's like, it seems like fancy. It's like H&M kind of fucking.
Yeah. Real quick before we jump into the Sinister Six, I want to ask you guys a question on this. And Keith, this will be a question to ask you too. Have you ever seen the Maniac remake?
I have not.
Is that okay?
I haven't seen it either. I've heard nothing but good about it.
Right. And Ryan, have you seen it?
You know, I haven't. I was going to watch it the other day just because I like him so much. And, like,
yeah.
Everything he touches is, like... I like Elijah Wood and... Why am I Bryan Singer?
Pills.
Bryan Singer.
Literally the pills that Bryan Singer gave you. That's why.
Exactly. It's funny because it's sexual assault. It's Elijah Wood and
Wood's the main guy.
Yeah, like, Elijah Wood, but really the only one that matters. But all these guys who did like all these like huge fucking things, they could have just rode that and been in like huge franchises. They're not doing all these like small things like the Maniac remake and stuff like that.
Rupert Grint.
Rupert Grint what's the other guy? The guy who's in Guns Akimbo and
Daniel Radcliffe.
Radcliffe. I just love that those two guys now just do like indie.
The other wizard.
They just do like fucking rad, like rad shit and like
indie horror.
I'm just gonna do like really cool ass movies, like that Elijah Wood movie where he's like Come to Daddy. That movie's like fucking nuts
and it's so good.
Yeah. So anyways, go ahead. Sorry.
The reason I asked about the Maniac remake, and it's actually good that none of you saw it, because this will be like something that you guys can look forward to, because the Maniac remake is also something that you can tell is done by somebody that loves horror. So it takes the concept of what Maniac was. And if you've seen the original Maniac is a very grimy, like almost bootleg of a film because of like the way that it was made and everything. It was almost snuffy. It's very snuffy. But the thing with the new one is it takes that same, with the Elijah Wood remake, it takes the same concept of that. And it has almost like a newer version of a snuffy feel because it's done through Elijah Wood's POV in a lot of it. So the only time you ever really see Elijah Wood's face is if he's looking in a mirror. And so it gives it this kind of like this feeling of you being involved in the film almost. And also it's very out of character for what Elijah Wood usually would have done. And he does so fucking well with it. So it's another like version of taking the original concept of it and doing something just new enough to make it like to put it up a notch. So between those two movies, the new one I personally think is far and above a better movie, even though the original one is kind of legendary in its own right. But yeah, I would recommend seeing that very soon if you guys haven't seen it, because it's very, very good.
It's funny because this sounds exactly like my porn VR. So
down to the presence of Elijah Wood.
You actually see Elijah Wood's face when Ryan looks in the mirror. So like it's just
I told you I love him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so. Absolutely.
Keith, you're fucking rad. I appreciate you coming on and
but now we judge.
Now we got the Sinister Six. We got the Sinister Six questions. You think you can handle it? You think you got the
I barely understand what it is. I'm fucking ready, dude.
Okay.
Awesome.
It's all opinion shit.
Yeah. Quick answers, long answers. Feel free to
opinion.
You know, I can have fun with it.
Pass if you whatever you need.
Pass. Yeah, good move.
Some people do on a couple of them.
Yeah. Those people are fucking cowards.
That's right. No, we love cowards. I'm just, all right. Freddie, here it is.
I don't have to love him. Fuck him.
First one, Freddy or Jason?
Oh, Freddy, 100%. I think Jason is the least interesting of like the OG like slashers. Like visually, murder wise, character wise, like I like the Friday the 13th movies fine, but Freddy all day.
What's the difference between thriller and horror?
I swear to God, you said thriller, and I just thought about Michael Jackson for like 15 seconds. I was like, this is not a curveball I was expecting. Thriller is like elevated horror, and it's that something douchebags say to enjoy scary movies while also feeling better than you.
I like that one.
Sometimes you want to give Silence of the Lambs an Oscar, but you want to still look like a fancy bitch. So you make it a thriller.
That was perfect. Yeah. What horror movie influenced your taste the most?
We already talked about it a bunch. Evil Dead 2. Hands down. It's the perfect combination of brutal violence and the dumbest comedy possible.
Yeah, so rad. If you could erase one movie from existence, what would it be? It doesn't have to be horror.
Be anything.
Fair game.
The video for Thriller. No. God damn. I'm trying to think. The last Star Wars movie, The Rise of Skywalker. That movie is a war crime. It is a cop of a film. I hate it with every fiber of my being. I want it shot into the sun and J.J. Abrams with it.
I've never seen it. Have you guys seen it? Yeah,
it's pretty bad. Like, it's bad.
I don't remember anything about it, honestly. So that's not good.
I watched the first one of the last ones, and I was like, "You're destroying another Death Star." I'm like, "You can't destroy another Death Star." I'm like, "You've destroyed two already. Like you can't have the same plot again. Like we can't like you did two. Two was bad enough. That's
who's
like,
making these fucking Death Stars, man?
Yeah, switch it up a bit."
So wait, have you not seen Last Jedi? The second of the new ones?
No, I never saw it.
See, The Last Jedi is great, and I like it because I'm a feminist ally and not an incel. Because the whole point of Episode 8 is, wouldn't it be dumb if we kept blowing up Death Stars, and then they do something completely different, and then the ninth one goes, never mind, we're scared, and we want Chinese money. So they just make the most cowardly movie ever fucking filmed.
It's just like...
It's bad.
At some point, like, I love those movies so much as a kid, but at some point, like, I looked back at it all, and I said, you know what? Empire, like, the only movie all those movies suck if it doesn't have the word Empire in the title. And, like, Empire was fantastic, a fantastic movie with a lot to go for it and a really good plot, and it was put together well, and the rest of them are just, like, you know what I mean? So, anyways.
Well, and I don't think Empire's as good as it is without the first and third. Or the sandwich ones, the whatever episodes.
Anyways, you know. I could have a whole podcast about this, but anyways, I'll just.
All right, yeah, let's find out if our ghost's real.
Oh, like in real life? I didn't realize that was a question. No, no, they're not. I used to be I was a tour guide at the Queen Mary in Long Beach, which is like an old ocean liner that is supposedly haunted as shit, and I was the ghost tour guide. And I went on like the training tours or whatever, where they told me all the stories. And then afterwards I was like, man, it's crazy all that shit happened. And the guy training me was like, oh, we fucking made it all up, dude. it's all super fake, dog. So I have like professionally lied about ghosts many times. Every time I say I definitely don't believe in ghosts, I'm like, this is going to be the clip they play when I get killed by ghosts. I do like at my funeral for a ghost murder. People are still trying to dunk on me and do gotcha journalism. I'm inclined to say no, but when I'm stuck in limbo, I will regret it.
it's the best way to go, by the way. Because like it's like limbo? Like I know ironic death, like you know what I mean, like hard cut death is the best. Like, no, I don't believe in ghosts, and like you're just sitting there. It's kind of like John Lennon. What should we name our album? Revolver. Hard cut. what should be the name of the song? Happiness is a warm gun. Hard cut. You know what I mean.
I feel like this is also like, I think it's funny because if you like, there's nothing wrong with not believing in ghosts your entire life, because what's the fucking worst thing that happens? You die and then you actually are a ghost. And they're like, what I fucking tell you the whole time, you know, like you get there, you're like, oh shit, I am a ghost. And yeah. like, what's going to be up there? Some fucking like foreman of the ghost world. That's like, you were a dick when you were alive and said we weren't real. So you have to go in the viewing room and watch your parents jerk off or whatever.
Or the ghost whisperer on loop.
Right.
Yeah. You mean get to.
For the record,
haunt Zach Baggins. That's what you have to do.
For the record,
I have to be a Discovery Channel.
For the record, I like that's where Jonas defaults to. Like that's where like his comic brain goes to. You're gonna watch your parents jerk off. Wow, that's a little peek behind the curtains. There.
It's one of the most fucked up things that I feel like spirits have to do. Is they always say like your fucking grandparents are you watching you masturbate? You can't do that.
I would way rather watch my parents fuck than watch either one of them masturbate. Like, that's way more upsetting. Because at least if they fuck, they're both having a good time. If I watch my dad jerk off and he's just hunched over and kind of sad about it, like I am when I jerk off, I'm like, oh, if I make the same face, I'm going to be bummed out. But
damn it. Now I'm a sad ghost.
All right, last one.
All right.
Midsummer or Hereditary?
So interesting. I had not seen Hereditary until last night.
Oh, wow.
Jonas asked me if I'd see it, and it's a movie my girlfriend and my buddy have been like bugging me to watch forever. I watched it Midsommar by a lot.
Interesting.
Yeah, I thought Hereditary was pretty good. It's a really well executed movie. I saw it so late. I feel like maybe I kind of got overhyped on it, but I think Midsommar is the way weirder, way more interesting movie. Speaking of the idea of kind of remakes, it's weird that both of Ari Aster's like big horror movies are kind of just Hereditary is basically Rosemary's Baby in the Suburbs. Like, is kind of how where it all lands. And Midsommar is kind of like a rework of like The Wicker Man.
I disagree with the Wicker Man thing. I hear that a lot. And like the story of the Wicker Man is completely, they're just set in like the same kind of culty thing.
He takes these very like recognizable tropes, I should say, of like these big movies.
Yeah,
sure,
yeah.
Sure.
And then builds them in such like different directions. But I thought,
agreed with that.
I thought
fully.
Midsommar was weirder in that sense of dread of like it's daylight, you know what's coming.
Oh, yeah.
The fact that there is no surprise, there is just an unstoppable train of like bad fucking vibes coming that whole movie. I found deeply unpleasant. I like that one a lot more.
I don't know.
That's
which
my choice. Yeah.
I don't know which is a better party, Midsommar or Wicker Man. Like Wicker Man, they like if Burning Man, like we just burnt a cop to death every year, I'm there. Okay. Midsommar, if we just went, if it's a, I would go to any party where we just threw old people off a cliff. I mean, like, you know, those people were like all upset. They're like, I can't watch this. I would be like, yo, I am the flower king. Like, I am like, get me a bear suit. I am down with this. Like they jumped. I'm like, who's next year? Let's get them. They're not sure. I'll push them. This is fucking fantastic.
Ryan's like, are there more old people? Because like, we can do this again. Like,
that guy he's saying he's in his 40s. Nah, dude, that guy's definitely in his 50s. Like, that's close. Close enough.
That guy's lived enough life. Let's get him on top of the cliff.
He's 33, but he looks tired. I don't know, man. Let's talk more shoving.
It's so bright out all the time.
That guy posts boomer memes. Like, okay, like, you know what I mean? Like, so I'm just going to throw him off the fucking cliff.
Yeah, Facebook has a picture of the Minions telling you to beat your kids later, fucker.
Exactly. This is an ideal answer.
It's a Midsommar remake where we just throw 4chan chuds off of a fucking cliff. That's all it is. That's all it
through
is.
The walls.
Yeah. What'd you say about Adrenochrome fuckface? Get out of here.
Oh man, this has been fun, Keith. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, man, this was a blast.
Yeah, this was
fun. You fucking crushed the Sinister Six. Those are great answers.
Yeah.
Now we're gonna do some fucking recommendations. What do you got, Graham?
God damn it! All right, yeah, I got one.
Sorry to bum you out, man.
No, it's fine.
Last night, fuck me first.
This isn't horror and it's TV, but I gotta unload. last night, yesterday was Molly's birthday. We came home. I was like, what do you want to watch? And she was like, kind of some trash reality TV. That's, we either watch horror or trash reality TV. That's all we watch. So I was like, all right, we'll look for something. And the first thing that popped up was a show I had never heard of called Claim to Fame. Has anybody heard of it?
No.
I've heard of it, but I haven't seen it.
Okay, so at first glance, no, because it's like the Jonas Brothers. And not even, it's like one of the Jonas Brothers and the fourth Jonas Brother that wasn't in the group are the hosts. And so I'm like, this is going to be dumb. And it's just going to be a bunch of like B celebrities that I don't care about. No, it's the relatives of really fucking famous people all put in a house, and they have to try to figure out who is related to who. And it's fucking amazing. Like, I can't explain, but the levels, they slowly reveal who it is. Like, sometimes, like, the first episode, everybody got Simone Biles' sister because she looks exactly fucking like her. Mm-hmm. And everyone was like, that's easy. But she stayed till like almost the end because there's so many different ways to play, like all these like alliances that, reveal, that are protecting that reveal, people.
Graham, by the way, that reveal feels racist, even though it's not.
Like, yeah, it's like great.
Like, Simone Biles thing, like everybody knew that was her.
It's her because she looks just like her. I'm like, come on, really?
No, it's mostly a black cast. It's like,
now you're anyway.
That's why I said sounds like, even though it's probably not.
No, listen, but the fucking, if you, like, all right, so the first one, the dude got eliminated. This one dude got disqualified because he was using a phone. And he was about to be, someone was about to guess who he was. That's the whole point. You get to the guesser and then they guess. And if you guess right, they go home. But if you guess wrong, you go home. So the guesser was there to guess Steven Spielberg. She was sure this dude was Steven Spielberg's grandson.
Are you giving away the spoiler?
First episode. It doesn't matter. Okay. First episode. Everybody thought it was Steven Spielberg. It was fucking Chuck Norris.
Wow.
And from that moment, I was like, I am hooked. Okay. And then every celebrity since, and there is a horror of strong horror connection in it.
Okay, all right. I will probably not check it out, but I will keep that.
Jonas?
I fucking love trash TV, so I'll check it out. Also, please. I don't think, I literally bought the movie Sidekicks on 4K. And for nostalgia reasons. So if Chuck Norris is included within this in even a 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon way, I'm more just curious because where the fuck has that guy been? Like,
And trust the horror one is amazing.
Nice.
Does Chuck Norris even show up or is it just Chimp Norris or whoever?
They just show a picture.
Chimp Norris.
They just show a picture of like who the relative is.
It's actually just Chuck Norris's beard. He just shows up.
I told the Scare Yet Girls last night, and they almost have it finished today.
So do you get like a SAG card if you're the fucking Chuck Norris's fucking niece or some shit? Like, I mean, like, how does that work? Do you have an
agent? Chuck Norris even have a SAG card at this point? I don't know.
I'm certain. I think he's definitely does. But yeah, that's a anything else, Graham? Anything?
Nope.
No,
just stick with that. It's fucking amazing.
Look at you, dude. Yeah, you just dropped the most random fucking bomb, and then you're like, fuck this shit, I'm out.
You, the horror connection will blow you away.
Wow. That was the weirdest mic drop I've ever seen you do. That was great.
That was great.
I'm way into it. I'm even more sold on that shit now.
Yeah, like, normally, like, you go off for, like a while about, like, 16 random, like, metal bands. You're like, and then, like, this band from, like, Outer Tasmania come in with this, like, fucking dirgy fucking, like, I don't have genres, but this is, like, but
now Graham knows good music, though.
Yeah, he does. No, he does. I'm saying, but like,
I just can't explain it. Yeah, no. Right. I'm not good at describing music at all.
Your success rate for fucking music that you've recommended to me is like in 95%. Like, it's fucking, it's top notch. So that's all you have. All right. So I have a couple. I will recommend on movies on Shudder. We all were talking about it. Unwelcome. It fucking rules.
Yeah, Unwelcome is fucking great. It's fucking great.
Fantastic movie. So that's on Shudder. It just came out not too long ago on Shudder. But I always
dude that did the Grabbers. Yeah, that did the Grabbers. If you like Grabbers, which you should, yeah, this is just as good.
Yep. It's also got the villain from the superior Ant-Man movie, not the most recent one.
It's an Irish horror movie. It's fucking great. It deals with like little people in the woods who are gonna fucking kill you.
Cole Meany is in it.
If you don't like it. If you don't like that kind of horror movie, like, I don't know what the fuck is the matter with you. Like, don't pay the $6 a month and get the Shudder and fucking watch the movie. It's called fucking Unwelcomed, and it's fucking great. From start to finish, this movie is fucking fantastic. And it deals with some men's issues. Like, it's fucking great. Yeah. Anyways, yeah, go. Yeah. Watch it.
This was also one of Brian's recommendations, clearly. So, like, not, I don't mean that in a bad way. Physical media. This one I just got in the mail. Deathgasm.
Hell yeah.
With the fucking, with the red slipcover. You know, friend of the show, Jason Lee Howden. This slipcover, by the way, is fucking sick. Like, it's one of my favorite slipcovers I've got on any movie. And also Deathgasm just fucking rules. It's a great movie. Great. And then this one is not horror related, but also I think everybody should check it out. It's a documentary called The Sound of Scars, and so it's about the band Life of Agony. Which is a metal band. If you've not heard of them, they fucking rule. They've been around since I think like 1993. First openly transgender vocalist, which in metal, which is also fucking crazy. And especially when you watch the documentary, you see what kind of a journey that actually was. Like, there's a lot there. It's a fantastic documentary, that one. And then also another one that's on Tubi, if you haven't seen it, it's called Murder in the Front Row. And it's about the I've recommended it a long time ago, but it just popped up for like free streaming on Tubi, so you should definitely watch that too. That's about the San Francisco thrash scene from back in the 80s, and it fucking rules. So those are great. And oddly, I have no music, even though I just recommended two music documentaries. So Ryan, it's on to you.
Cool. First of all, I'm gonna recommend Cult of Cult shirts. I can't imagine they're a big company. I don't know anything about them, but they algorithmed me. I got algorithmed well. I'm gonna show, like, for all the YouTube watchers, I got this Jason Lives shirt, and it's the, for all the people just listening, it is the scene from Jason Lives where he rips the arm off and then he looks down at it, which has always been one of my favorite shots, and they put that on a shirt. They also have a really cool shirt that I'm gonna get when I have some more money, the scene from Dream Warriors where Welcome to Primetime, B word, where they shove her head in the TV. They have that one, and I don't know, it's kind of cool.
You stopped swearing on this podcast?
Yes, that was weird.
Nobody told me.
Nobody tells. I'm just, I don't know.
You should have said that in the fucking beginning, man.
I just felt it was, you know what I mean? Like, I just felt wrong about it for a minute. Is that all right? You know what I mean?
I hear you.
You know, all the incel talk earlier.
You might be. Like,
one of my recommendations is the word bitch. So I hope that's okay.
No, but
it's very Sesame Street of you, Keith. Today's word.
Oscar the Bitch, my favorite
puppet. No, but they have a lot of cool stuff. Cult of Cult, look them up. The shirt's great. It's quality. Print's good. I like the small business. I like people with like my brain who got like a design package and have a screen printing thing. I think it's a really cool thing, and it has back prints, and I like that, and it's all cool. It all looks metal or hardcore, punky, whatever you kind of want to, you know, something with sleeves of tattoos. If you have that, you'll like this. So go check it out. Cult of Cult. I watched House of Darkness, which was kind of a fun movie. It's got Justin Long in it. I think it's a 2023 movie, which is a fun little tale. Came out. I actually mentioned it earlier, but I was in out of town all weekend, so I didn't have time to. I'm almost done with my book Ling Hung, which I'm still reading. It's very, very good. I just need to finish it. I was doing comedy in Northern Washington all weekend, so I haven't had a chance to read it. But I am suggesting to everybody right now to go read The Telltale Heart. It's only a few pages. It's Edgar Allan Poe. Such a fucking great story. It's up and down, for a beginning, middle, and end of a fucking short story. It's absolutely fantastic, and it really it packs a fucking huge punch. And his stuff is really great. It's out there. It's open domain. So either go buy an Edgar Allan Poe book, or you could probably find it online someplace.
I'm actually getting a Telltale Heart tattoo when I go back to LA.
Yeah, I want a Telltale Heart tattoo as well.
Yeah, my tattoo guy is in LA. It's Ed Brescia, who fucking rules.
I want Gushers.
He did the
tattoo.
Flyer for my album recording, actually.
Really? Yeah, he does the flyers for Chatterbox also. Yeah, like he's great. Yeah.
I don't know if you know this, Ryan, but the House of Darkness director did The Wicker Man.
Really?
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. Wow. I had no idea. But it's fun.
I think
movie.
Probably the remake.
But Justin Long's in it, and he's kind of doing cool movies right now. And then lastly, I'm just going to suggest The Bear. I know everybody else is suggesting it. I'm going to go back to The Bear in a second. But first, I'm going to suggest From season one and season two. I think it's one of the best horror shows ever so far. They're both very good. Both seasons are very good. It's not really getting to the point that I would like, but it's fucking very good. And the creatures are truly terrifying on it. Like, they are absolutely terrifying. It's on MGM Plus, formerly Epics. I don't know what happened there, but I don't really care either. But it's like $3 a month on Amazon, additional channel. So it's totally worth watching. But I'm watching The Bear right now, season two. I'm like 3/4 of the way done with it. And it's like real shit.
It's like, if you ever worked in a kitchen, it's very, very accurate.
And beyond the kitchen shit, though, it's just like I just watched the episode with Jamie Lee Curtis and fucking John Mulaney and fucking like, and it's just like, it's a very serious show, and it's very, very good, and it's so incredibly well written, and the acting just couldn't be like I don't want the acting to be any better. Like, I'm fucking like, it's like enough with the fucking good shit. Like, I'm like, it's like you're laying it on a little thick, aren't you? You know, like Mr. Rogers, you're like, the fucking stop. Okay, dude, we get it. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like, so like,
we're heel turning on Mr. Rogers. I love
Mr. Rogers, but like, you know, like when you see fucking what's his name playing Abraham Lincoln, what's his name? Fucking what's
Paul Oberst Jr., fan of friend of the show.
What's his name? Fucking
Daniel
the
Lewis.
Daniel Day-Lewis, thank you. Like, that guy, like he's like a cobbler in real life. Like, you're a fucking asshole, you know what I mean? Like, you're laying it on fucking thick, you know what I mean? But The Bear is like so fucking good. It's like it's almost too good. Like, it's like, it's so fucking good. They do a great job. Every character you love and you like, you feel like you know, and they really touch place on some really, really great shit. And when I was a kid, we had like fucking Growing Pains. Like that shit, that like like, oh, that Mike Seaver is a fucking rascal, you know, giving his sister a hard time, you know what I mean? Like we didn't
look
have
how
shit.
That cocksucker turned out.
Yeah,
by the way.
And that guy turned out, that guy fucking thinks a banana, which was created basically by man, like, is why there's fucking a magic space monster. Anyways, watch The Bear. It's on Hulu. I don't fucking know. Like, I just like, I watch this shit and I'm like, this is beyond like TV or like fucking anything. This is just like fucking like super art. Like, I don't know. Anyways, Keith, what do you got?
I want to say the only time I ever feel sorry for everybody in LA is when Daniel Day-Lewis is filming a movie, because you guys have to deal with that method acting fuck when he's going out and doing anything in Los Angeles. Like, it's just like, God damn it. Daniel Day-Lewis is here and he's filming a fucking movie about oil. Like, it's just, God damn it.
So what, we got to act like the mustache is fine? Like, is that... We're just gonna be, oh, hello, Mr. Pringles man. And act like that, super cool and chill.
Right. Yeah.
Daniel Day-Lewis and wildfires are really the two natural disasters.
Yeah.
Man, by the way, quick sidebar, because I know you guys are New York guys. When everyone I know in New York was like, oh, no, there's a fire and there's smoke in the air a couple months ago, I was like, oh, really? Really? That happened once to you?
I keep my mouth shut when that kind of stuff happens.
Sucks. Welcome to my hell.
I saw a video of you guys driving through what looked like hell when the fucking hills were on fire one year. I was like,
yeah,
holy shit.
The sky was red, dude. It looked like the apocalypse. It was kind of kick-ass. But like in a bad way.
Right.
All right, I got a couple recommend. So I am sure you guys have talked about this movie, and I got to the game late, but the last horror thing I saw a couple months ago that blew my dick off was The Sadness. This is how I knew it was going to be a good one. Is my buddy Kyle Clark, who hosts a podcast called This Is Rad, huge fucking horror nerd, everything nerd. You guys should have him on this show because he's great.
He will periodically
like take me aside at parties or whatever and be like, "Hey man, you got to watch this movie, but I'm not going to tell anybody else about it. So fucking be cool." And I'm like, "Oh, that's the weird like Faces of Death, like hardcore shit that I'm getting shown." It takes a lot for me to watch a movie and like start clutching my pearls, and the sadness actually pulled it off. So I highly recommend that, although I imagine anybody listening to this has probably already watched it. Music one, I went down a weird rabbit hole recently where I got into like Swedish punk bands for a minute. And I found this band called The Dahmers, who I highly recommend. If you've never heard of them, just imagine if The Hives wrote Misfits songs. And it's
that's
sick
great.
As hell.
Whoa.
Dude, it kicks ass. They're just these weird Swedish dudes who dress up like skeletons and sing about like having spiders in your brains and shit. A good time. I also
what are they called again?
The Dahmers.
All right, this is amazing. That's I just recommended The Hives. I think last episode I was on.
They played like a tiny LA show and I couldn't get in. I was so bummed.
Oh, they're one of my favorites.
Yeah, they're kick ass. other than that, I recommend you follow me on Instagram at Keith Tells Jokes. Yeah, that's it. I don't really have anything to plug right now.
That's all right.
I'm just following. I got stand up on Spotify. Just type me in, you'll find me.
Oddly enough, my Instagram is Ryan Danley Tells Jokes. It's like we're sharing a brand now, Keith. This is fucking weird.
You two joke telling fucks.
Which is so we fucking tell jokes.
Yeah, my Instagram is called Jonas Fucking Hates Jokes, dude. Jonas speaks truth to power.
Mine's syndicated Graham because I got high one day.
Mine's actually just my name, but I replaced the O with a Q. Like just to be a dick.
Oh boy, I gotta pull up the thing here. We have a Patreon, don't we? Don't we have a Patreon?
Goddamn right, we have a Patreon.
We got
a Patreon, and they're called the Army of the Goddamned, and they are Jason Daniels, Jake Jolly, Ron Canabla, Kristen Pearl, Manny Velasquez, Coleman Rosenberg, Drew Muldowney, Stephanie Gurley, Katie Wiking, Chris Fortune, Alan Graham, Bacon Bits the Cat, who I got to see a picture of just recently. Beautiful.
Bacon Bits rules.
Yeah. Angela and Jasmine Pettit. Thank you all so much. You fucking rule.
Totally also, fucking rule. Just real quick about the Patreon. Me and Ryan just did an episode that was for everybody. That was fixing the franchise, and it was the Saw franchise. That was the first one. That's what y'all get. But if you want the next ones and the ones that we're doing going forward, you're gonna have to subscribe to the Patreon because that's where we're gonna put those. And the next one, I think that we're gonna try to fix before the new one comes out, is Insidious.
Mm-hmm. And it needs some fixing.
Half of that fucking franchise is a mess. Yes. So yeah, we definitely need to do some fixing on that one.
Yeah.
So that's gonna be on the Patreon.
And we want to give a big shout out to, U.S., of course, we're always in the first place. United Kingdom still coming in strong at number two. Canada at number three. New Zealand coming in strongly at number four. Germany fucking coming in fourth. Knocking Australia out of its fourth place for the first time ever. Australia still hanging in there though. Sweden right after that. Turks and Caicos, you're rising up. India, Mexico, Netherlands, France, Poland, Puerto Rico, Czech Republic, Switzerland, Thailand, Brazil, Ireland. Wait, did I say Sweden?
I think you said Sweden. Yeah.
Okay, Sweden. You guys are unfucking believable. The fact that we get these listens all over the world is unfreaking believable. Love you all. I get these charts sent to me every day, and I just geek out like for a minute about fucking teachers told me I'd never amount to anything, and I'd like to see where their podcasts are rating in Sweden. I'm guessing zero. I'm guessing fucking way down. Or they're, most of my teachers are probably dead at this point. That's one of the great things about getting older is you can look back at all those assholes in grade school, and
you ain't fucking here anymore.
Yeah, you're fucking. You know what? Like, yeah. Oh, Mr. Rundle, thinking you're fucking cool.
Ugh, what an awful name.
Yeah, like, Mr. Rundle.
Send him immediately in. Terrible name.
The name sounds like a fart smell.
Yeah, exactly.
Jesus Christ.
First thing he did was he taught me that the way to remember to spell principal as opposed to principal is that principal ends with P-A-L because the principal of a school is your pal.
Go fuck yourself, Mr. Rundle.
And then the first time he sent me to the principal's office, it turns out the guy isn't my pal. He's a total fucking asshole. You know what I mean? So, you know, fuck him. And
you
fuck
lied
him.
To me, you fart-sounded motherfucker.
Fuck it, fuck him and fuck his family. Anyway, so thank everybody for tuning in. We love you all. If you're all anybody out there struggling or anything, please reach out. We all do this together. We need you. Stick around. We love you. Thanks, Keith Carrigo. Please go check out his stuff on the internets, and take care of yourself. Until we see you next time, please go start some fires and break some glass. Later.